The following is a class on the Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter number 5, text number 18, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on October 20th, 2008, in Helsinki, Finland.
So, by the most sublime mercy of His divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, we have this most glorious, most auspicious opportunity to study Raja Vijil, the King of Education, Srimad Bhagavad Gita. Tonight we will read from the fifth chapter, which is Karma Yoga, Action in Krishna Consciousness, text number 18. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Vidyavinaya Sampane.
Vidyavinaya Sampane.
Dhamane Gavihashtini Shuni Jaivashvapake
cha
Tandita Samadarshina. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Tridhandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada. The humble sages, by virtue of true knowledge, see with equal vision a learned and gentle Brahmin, a cow, an elephant, a dog, and a dog-eater, outcast. A Krishna-conscious person does not make any distinction between species or castes. The Brahmin and the outcast may be different from the social point of view, or a dog, a cow, and an elephant may be different from the point of view of species. But these differences of body are meaningless from the viewpoint of a learned transcendentalist. This is due to their relationship to the Supreme. For the Supreme Lord, by His plenary portion as Paramatma, is present in everyone's heart. Such an understanding of the Supreme is real knowledge. As far as the bodies are concerned, in different castes or different species of life, the Lord is equally kind to everyone. Because He treats every living being as a friend, yet He maintains Himself as Paramatma, regardless of the circumstances of the living entities. The Lord is Paramatma, is present both in the outcast and in the Brahman, although the body of a Brahman and that of an outcast are not the same. The bodies are material productions of different modes of material nature, but the soul and the super soul within the body are of the same spiritual quality. The similarity in the quality of the soul and the supersoul, however, does not make them equal in quantity. For the individual soul is present only in that particular body, whereas the Paramatma is present in each and every body. A Krishna-conscious person has full knowledge of this, and therefore he is truly learned and has equal vision. The similar characteristics of the soul and supersoul are that they are both conscious, eternal, and blissful. But the difference is that the individual soul is conscious within the limited jurisdiction of the body, whereas the supersoul is conscious of all bodies. The supersoul is present in all bodies without distinction. Mandeham Shri Guru Vijata Pada Kamala Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupa Sagrajata Sahagana Raghunathanvita Tam Sajiva Sadaita Savaduta Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha.
So this is a pretty important distinction. Distinction between the soul and the super soul. The Mayavadis, they don't make this distinction. Therefore, they're in big trouble. Very clearly explained by Srila Prabhupada here. The individual soul is conscious only within the jurisdiction of his body. Of course, the Paramatma is also conscious within the jurisdiction of his body as well, but his body is everything. Is it? Both the Atmas are conscious within the jurisdiction of their particular bodies. But there's a tremendous and inconceivable gulf of difference between the body of the individual soul and the actual, you could say, body of the Paramatma. Of course, he has his form in a particular place. But by his energy, he's expanded everywhere. This is the point. Krishna explains like that. Whatever qualities are there in the Paramatma are automatically there in Krishna himself as well, because Paramatma is simply his expansion. Krishna explains in chapter 6, text number 30. Yomang pashyati sarvatra sarvangcha mai pashyati tasyahang na pranashami Satchamena pranashyati. For one who sees me everywhere and sees everything in me, I am never lost, nor is he ever lost to me. So actually, Krishna, by his energy, is expanded everywhere. There is nowhere that Krishna is not present, because everything is his expanded energy. The energetic and his energy are non-different. It is simply the expanded form of himself. But at the same time, there is different. The expanded energy is different from the expander who is expanding the energy, obviously. Just like here we have the electricity. Qualitatively one with the powerhouse, but the power, this light bulb cannot generate electricity to light up the whole city of Helsinki. Can't even, this one light bulb couldn't even generate electricity to illuminate this entire temple. Is it? The energy and the energetic are non-different. That's a fact. But one is the emanated and the other is the emanator. That is the difference. this is the emanated energy of the Helsinki powerhouse, you see. So it's non-different. But at the same time, this light bulb cannot generate any electricity. So that is the difference between the soul and the super soul. They are both conscious, they are both, as stated here, they are both conscious, eternal, and blissful. They both share the qualities, conscious, eternal, and blissful. But the Supreme Person, he is able to emanate all of these part and parcel living beings from himself. The part and parcel living beings can't emanate anything from themselves. They don't have that potency. Aham sarvasya prabhavo matak sarvam pravartate. Krishna says, I am the source of all material and spiritual worlds. Everything emanates from me. Can you say that? Of course, some Maya bodies will claim them. Fools and rascals. Yes, I am the source of all existence. Then as soon as they get a toothache, they have to go running to the dentist, you see. What kind of God is that? There was one, back during the 70s, there was one, what was his name? Guru Maharajji. He was claiming to be Krishna. But then he got caught smuggling jewels into India and the Indian government arrested him. So what kind of God is that, you see? He has to bow down to the power of the Indian government. We have the actual God, he doesn't bow down to any governmental power. You know that pastime when Krishna was coming into Mathura? He's just a village boy coming into the big city to stroll around and have a look at the big city folks and the big city buildings and all the big city things going on. It was a new thing for him. He's a country boy, you know, coming to the big city for the first time. He's like some farmer coming into Helsinki for the first time. He'd never seen a city, you know. Spent his whole life out on the farm. You know, he comes into Helsinki, he's going, oh, wow, look at this place. So Krishna was coming into the big city for the first time. When a farm boy comes in, he feels intimidated, you know, a little afraid, you know, a little shy, you know. And Krishna didn't come in like that. Krishna came into Mathura like he owned the place. He saw the washerman, Kamsa's washerman, right, with all the fancy clothes for the king. And here he was with all of his cowherd boyfriends, you know. They had this simple village garb, and he looked at that. He looked at all those wonderful outfits. He said, this is really nice for me and my cowherd boyfriend, you know. So he told the washerman, you give that to us. The washerman said, no way, it belongs to the king. What are you talking about? Whap off with his head. Krishna didn't have to study karate. He learned how to break a brick, you know. He just went whoosh, with his hand, you know, cut his head off like that. And then so they took all the king's garb, you know, they'd all decked themselves out in the king's garb, and they kept walking down the street, checking out a little bit more of Mathura. What's down in the next block, you know? So this is God, you see. He doesn't bow down to any government power. If the government tries to get in his way, he just says, so this is Krishna. Now the Christians, they have this idea that God's an old man with a beard, you know. They have a painting of him in the Sistine Chapel in Rome. You've seen that? Anyone been to Rome and seen the Sistine Chapel? I haven't been. Oh, you have seen. You saw the Sistine Chapel? Yeah, an old man with a beard. He's probably hard of hearing, you know, and he needs a cane to get around and so many things. And they think that's God. You see, that's their conception of God. It just shows how foolish they are. This is what their Rome is supposed to be the capital of Catholicism, you see. This is where the greatest theologians and scholars have compiled volumes and volumes of books for centuries and centuries and centuries. And the best thing that could come up is an old man with a beard. But we have Navayovanam. Brahmaji has told us very clearly. We don't have to speculate what God looks like. Brahmaji has told us everything. He's an ever-fresh youth. His eyes bedecked. His eyes are like lotus petals. See? His body is bedecked with valuable jewels. This is gone. So we're very fortunate that the divine grace Srila Prabhupada has so kindly blessed us with this knowledge of what is God actually. You see? We do not have to speculate, try to figure out what is God. We can immediately know, yes, this is God, Krishna, the supreme, all-attractive personality of Godhead. Shouldn't God be lovable? If you're supposed to love God, don't you think he would make himself lovable? In the Bible, the Old Testament says, "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I'm going to get you back." You know, kind of a God, you see. You mess around with me, I'm going to get back with you. See, that's not attractive. If we are meant to love God, then God must be lovable. He must be beautiful, all-powerful, all-beautiful, all-renounced, all-knowledgeable, all-wealthy, and all-famous. Those things that are attractive to us in this world, they must be found to the greatest extent in God. That is God. You see, Bhagavan. That is God. When you see somebody who is powerful, are you attracted? Of course. It's like if your prime minister came to the Sunday love feast. Powerful person. Wow, the prime minister has come to the Sunday feast. Everybody want to see the prime minister. Tathavada want to meet, talk with him, preach with him, or her, I don't know. A powerful person has come. Tathavada would be very eager to preach. Very important person, you see, the prime minister of the country is the most important person. If we can make that person a devotee, just imagine how the Helsinki preaching could flourish if the prime minister is chanting japa and wearing tilak, you see. So that person, a powerful person is very attractive to us and also attractive to people in general. If a powerful person can be made Krishna conscious, the whole country will be attracted to Krishna consciousness. So we're attracted to powerful people. So who is more powerful than Krishna? We're attracted to beautiful people, you see. And who is more beautiful than Krishna? If someone is very, very renounced also, we're very attracted, just like Mother Teresa, a Catholic nun. She's very, that other one, what is his name? The Dalai Lama, you see. Renounced person. In many ways. People are attracted to renounced people. Just like in our ISKCON, the sannyasis are very attractive, you see, because they are renounced. So, the one who is renounced, that becomes another feature of attraction. So actually, Grandfather Bhishma has confirmed there is no one more renounced than Krishna. Because even though he was dancing with all these beautiful, beautiful, most beautiful girls in all of existence, there was no sexual relations, none. Therefore, there is no one more renounced than Krishna. And in terms of knowledge, who knows more than Krishna? You see? Someone also is very... Who is more wealthy than Krishna? Bhogdaram jagatapasam sarava loka maheshwaram. Who is more wealthy than Krishna? He owns everything. So we see all of those qualities that are attractive to us in this world. we find that each and every one of those qualities is present to the greatest unlimited extent in Krishna. Therefore, Krishna is the most attractive, most lovable person. This is God. So, this is how we know that Srila Prabhupada is a bona fide spiritual master, because he has given us the actual person who is God. Not some imaginary God, but the real God that is given to us by Srila Prabhupada. So how much indebted we are to His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada for revealing to us who actually is God. It's amazing how Prabhupada convinced us. Who would think that God is a little blue cowherd boy that plays his flute in the bushes on the bank of the river Jamuna in the moonlit night of the Shard season? When you were a little kid growing up, did you ever think that God was a little blue cowherd boy that played a flute in the bushes in the moonlit night of the Shard season? I mean, that's inconceivable for someone here in the Western world, but yet Prabhupada convinced us that God is indeed a little blue cowherd boy that plays his flute in the bushes in the moonlit night of the Shard season. How did Prabhupada convince us? Because Prabhupada can see Krishna at every moment. The other morning we read a verse in the Bhagavatam class. I was amazed by this verse. In the purport, Prabhupada says, if one chants the Hare Krishna mantra without offense, then Krishna will personally appear in front of your very eyes. That means that Prabhupada was able to see Krishna at every minute. Can you imagine if Krishna actually came? He was standing right in front of you. Krishna himself. How amazing that would be. This is what Prabhupada has given us, the system whereby we can actually see Krishna face to face. We simply have to learn how to chant the holy names without offense. This is the amazing gift of Srila Prabhupada. So how much indebted we are to Srila Prabhupada, what he has given us. So now we simply have to become perfect in our chanting. At the same time, spread this wonderful mercy with everyone, because they are suffering. They are dying without this Krishna consciousness. We must perfect our own practice and at the same time be fully absorbed in giving this knowledge to everybody, because the whole world is suffering without Krishna consciousness. We can save them from their suffering, and at the same time we will be saved from our suffering as well. The more you think about helping others, the more your personal problems are solved automatically. Because really, the basis of all the anxieties that each and every one of us experience is our selfishness, actually. It's our selfishness which is the cause of our anxieties. Selfishness. So the more you're in the mood of serving Krishna and giving Krishna the greatest pleasure by serving everybody by bringing them to Krishna, then your selfishness becomes less and less and less and less, and finally it becomes completely gone when you become a pure devotee. You see, that's what it means to be a pure devotee. There's not even a tinge of selfishness left in the heart. Completely gone. So this is the only process you will find where that you can become completely purified of all sinfulness. This Krishna consciousness process is the only systematic program to completely cleanse the heart of all the dust accumulated for thousands and millions of lifetimes. So if we take it seriously, it'll be the most ecstatic experience. And it'll just get more and more ecstatic throughout the entire life. So I can ask now if there's any questions. Yeah.
When I saw this picture from the Bhagavad Gita connected to this verse, where there is the elephant and the dog, mm-hmm. this picture, This question, I'm showing it in book distribution to people and explaining at the same time what it means, this picture. So a question came to my mind that does this saintly person, does he see like the super soul in everyone's heart, or that everyone is a spirit soul? Is it only...
He sees, the answer is yes, all the above. He can see the individual jiva in each heart. He also can see the super soul. He can also see Krishna. The pure devotee can see Krishna, who's emanating the super soul from himself. He can see all of it. Yeah. Everything. Yeah.
So he can even see like that even though the bodies are, they are different, but the souls are the same. They are in the, that they are all spiritual beings, but he can also see that individually in the souls, spiritual beings.
Yes.
Really,
yes. He doesn't just see the one who is fully realized, fully perfect. He not only sees the spirit spark, but he can see the individual nature of that jiva. Because each jiva is different. They're not just a carbon copy, you know. It's like there's no two snowflakes that are the same. Every jiva has his own unique qualities and characteristics. So he can all, the pure devotee can perceive that also. The individual qualities and characteristics of each specific jiva, he can perceive those as well. You're not a carbon copy, you see. You're unique. That's why you have to go back to Godhead. Krishna is missing you. There's nobody like you in all of existence. That's true of everybody, you see. There's nobody like you. No one can take your place as far as... You're a dearest son of Krishna. No one can take your place. So you have to go back to God, otherwise Krishna will not be happy. Any other questions? Yes.
And this saintly person see from the conditioned nature, can he like what I'm trying to ask is that is there any clue in our conditioned nature of what we are really are, what is our liberation?
He doesn't need any clues. Now that sometimes people think like that, that becomes what's known as sahajism. That, well, I have a tendency now for this, so that must be my rasa in the spiritual world, you know. I like gulab jamun, so it must be my pastime in Krishna's lila to eat unlimited gulab jamun, so I'm going to practice now by eating unlimited gulab jamun. It doesn't work like that. You probably take birth again as, you know, you do that kind of stuff. Now, the fact is that in this material existence, trying to enjoy the lording and overposition, you have tried virtually every conceivable type of combination of the three modes of nature that's even mathematically possible. You know what I mean? In other words, we've tried out each one of the 8,400,000 species. We've tried it out as a male, tried it out as a female, tried it as, you know, we've tried everything, every conceivable way to enjoy this material world, and what does Bhagavatam say after all the attempts? Punak punascharvita charvananam. You're still not satisfied, rascal. Because this is not your nature. You're not of this world. You are of the spiritual nature, isn't it? You can only be happy if you get back to being who you really are. It's the only way you can jivera sarupa hoy krishnera nitya das. It's the only way you can be happy. So everyone is now satisfied. Any questions? Yes? Oh, you just... No, okay. All right then. there's no question that we will adjourn. So we thank you all very much for so kindly coming together here to worship the Lord, to sing their Dhammadarastakam prayers, and to hear some Bhagavad Gita philosophy. This divine grace, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavad Gita Raja Vidya ki jai.
Jai.
ISKCON Helsinki devotees ki jai.